Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are back here on The Punch Out, 15th of October, 2021. Very happy to be back with you here on the show. We've got plenty for you here on the show, as we always do. We're going to be talking about some notable trends as it concerns employment and unemployment here in the U.S. We're going to be talking about capital gains and racism and how that affects your taxes. Well, probably not yours. But before we get to either of those two very important stories, we're going to be talking about how Congress really just doesn't care that much about what you think. Well, Congress is gridlocked over the issue of passing the $3.5 trillion proposed budget reconciliation bill that has been presented in that body by Democrats. A handful of conservative Democrats in the House and Senate, as well as the entire Republican Party, have decided to block the legislation to avoid even the slightest tax increases on the wealthiest Americans and the biggest, most profitable corporations. They would rather public housing continue to become slums, for families to live in poverty, for tens of millions of workers to have no paid time off, for senior citizens not to be able to afford hearing aids, and for home health care workers to make abysmal wages, than have the richest people in the country, who have everything already, be required to make any additional financial contribution to social programs. You often will hear that, well, hey, this is just the democratic process, quote unquote. Now, given the meaning of the word democratic, a system where the mass of people are at least supposed to rule, you'd assume that this gridlock in Congress, if it's the democratic process, quote unquote, must reflect some sort of reality on the ground, some sort of divided opinion, particularly because conservative Democrats keep claiming that somehow the bill will be bad for their reelection hopes, which, again, would make you think, well, there must be a lot of people against this. Well, ultimately, that is not the case. And in fact, the budget reconciliation bill, which along with the infrastructure proposal of Democrats is known as the Build Back Better agenda, is very popular all across the country, but in particular in key states where Democratic representatives are either holding the bill up or where they may face tough races in next year's midterms. Data for Progress surveyed 12 states on this issue: Arizona, West Virginia, North Carolina, Wisconsin, Washington, Oregon, Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Colorado, and Montana. And they note that, quote, in all 12 states surveyed, Build Back Better is supported by a majority of likely voters. A majority of likely voters. In no state surveyed is it supported by less than a 15 percentage point margin, with the margin of support being significantly higher in many states. They further note that, quote, increased capital gains taxes, higher taxes on the wealthy, limiting deductions for business owners, increasing the corporate tax rate, and increased IRS enforcement all have majority support in each of the 12 states. When you drill down to the states whose Democratic senators are the most obstructionists, you can see the anti-democratic realities truly at play. In Arizona, home of Kristen Sinema, for instance, 65% of likely voters support the Build Back Better plan, including 95% of Democrats and even 43% of Republicans. 85% overall want to see expanded Medicare coverage, 71% support the child care investments, and 75% of Arizona likely voters support taxing the rich to pay for these plans. In West Virginia, 68% of likely voters support the overall plan, including 90% of Democrats and 56% of Republicans. Yes, that's right. In West Virginia, even a majority of Republicans support the budget reconciliation bill, yet the Democratic senator from that state is opposed. In Georgia, where Democrats will face tough reelection fights next year, or a tough reelection fight for the Senate next year, 58% of Republicans, yes, Republicans, 58% of them in Georgia support the Build Back Better plan. So clearly, there's absolutely no political reason, or at least in terms of winning elections type of political reason, to oppose these plans. Which, of course, is a very important point. It shows that, quite frankly, despite all the rhetoric about democracy in the United States, the people don't rule. You can have an overwhelmingly popular set of policies with a clear way to pay for them, and they can still be subject to a veto by ultra-wealthy capitalists, no matter how much those policies help people or how much they help people. Ultimately, when you look at all this, it's clear who really runs America, and it isn't you and me. While we are on the subject of the budget reconciliation bill and the issue of how it's going to be paid for, one of the proposals that's on the table there would be to raise the capital gains taxes, both realized and unrealized capital gains taxes, to a higher rate. Currently, capital gains taxes, essentially the taxes on assets like stocks and investments, are lower than taxes on income, which is basically salaries and the like. Further, many capital gains remain quote-unquote unrealized, meaning that even though they go up in value, they aren't sold or liquidated, which is the only time they would actually be taxed. So for example, if you have $1 million in stocks and their value appreciates to $5 million, if you cash that out, you'll pay significantly lower taxes than if you got a salary of $5 million. And if you don't cash it out, even though your wealth has increased, you pay no taxes. In fact, one of the biggest tax dodges out there is that rich people borrow money against the value of their assets and use it to fund their lifestyles in a way that avoids them having to pay a huge chunk of taxes, since they only need to liquidate enough of their wealth to pay the interest on the loans. So as you can see, just in general, it's an absurd system that allows the super rich to avoid any serious taxation on their wealth. So that alone is a reason to tax capital gains, both realized and unrealized, more significantly. But here's another one. It's also a way of reducing the racial wealth gap since, surprise, the vast majority of wealth of this type is not owned by black people in particular. In a new report, the Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy has studied this issue and found, among other things, quote, white families comprise 65% of all families in the survey, yet they hold 89% of the unrealized capital gains in excess of $2 million. Black and Latino families each hold about 1% of unrealized gains in excess of $2 million, despite making up 14% and 10% respectively of families in the survey. Now, to be fair here, only 2.5% of white families had unrealized capital gains above $2 million, which goes to show how hyper-concentrated wealth is in a tiny handful of mainly white families. The reporting also noted that, quote, only 0.2% of black families and 0.3% of Latino families had unrealized gains in excess of $2 million. The report also details that, quote, white families make up 65% of families but own nearly 90% of corporate stock, nearly 90% of private business assets, and more than 76% of real estate holdings. Black and Latino families, in contrast, own 1.7 and 0.5% of corporate equities, respectively, less than 2% of private business assets, and under 6% of real estate holdings. We can therefore assume that white families receive a disproportionate share of the income generated by capital gains and stock dividends. So again, there are plenty of reasons to tax the rich to help people who actually need it. But as this shows, fighting the racist distribution of wealth in this country is certainly one of them. The most recent jobs report has opened up all sorts of questions about how durable the so-called recovery from the massive economic collapse that flowed from the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic really is. As regular listeners of this show know, I've been skeptical about the true depth and breadth of this so-called recovery, even during the months with significant gains in employment, and I feel for sure the economy is much more fragile than is often laid out. However, putting that aside for a moment, it's worth noting some trends in terms of the racial demographics of those who have gotten jobs in the nascent recovery. The Center for Economic and Policy Research has just produced an interesting report that details that Black and Asian American workers have considerably lower transition rates from unemployment to employment than white and Latino workers. They lay out that, quote, in the first 6 months of 2021, 18% of Black and 20% of Asian American unemployed workers gained a job, which is around 5 percentage points lower than the rate of reemployment for white and Latino unemployed workers. To get a sense of how this relates to similar data and trends in the past, the Center for Economic and Policy Research compared the actual results of transitioning from unemployment to employment to what was predicted, finding, quote, Black and Asian unemployed workers were further off track to meeting the expected employment transition based on the job opening rate. For example, about 20% of Black and 25% of Asian American unemployed workers gained jobs in June, far below the predicted rate of 30% given the job opening rate. So in other words, 8.5% fewer black workers got jobs than economists had predicted they would, and 6.4% of Asian workers got fewer jobs than economists had predicted they would in the first 6 months of 2021. For white and Latino workers, the difference was only 3%. The research also found a bit of a lag as it concerns age, noting, quote, "We might expect to see a slower pace for 16 to 19-year-olds in the coming months, but their job prospects seem to be quite good at the moment. By contrast, unemployed workers in their later prime age appear to have a slightly lower rate of gaining jobs," end quote. Now, there are many points here and many reasons why this is happening or could be happening, but it has to be said that one major one without a doubt is discrimination in the labor market. With the known discrimination against both black and older workers, it seems highly likely these trends reflect the fact that black people face hiring discrimination and that as jobs open back up, capitalists are looking to replace older workers with younger ones they can pay less. And it really goes to my greater point about how these issues of the economy and how it's viewed and how it's presented, which is that it really isn't just one big general entity, the quote unquote economy. And the broad narratives, particularly around the quote unquote recovery, do as much to obscure quite a bit of real pain that people are experiencing rather than really explain what's going on. That's the punch out for today. We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York, East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.